Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Shorter days and longer nights are an invitation to stargaze. In today's installment of Wisconsin Life, commentator Jim Lattis tells us what's overhead right now.
There's certain things you look for in the autumn sky. One of them is the Big Dipper. It's moving down towards the horizon, moving back towards the northern point on the horizon. The Big Dipper, of course, is Ursa Major, the Great Bear. And so for a long time, that's been associated with the bear thinking about hibernating as it descends into the north. So it's seen as the harbinger of winter, as the bear moving towards hibernation from time immemorial, we'll say. Over in the northeast, another harbinger of winter is there is a bright star called Capella, the first of the group of really bright winter stars that we're going to see more and more of as the year progresses. It's very bright, twinkling low on the horizon, changing colors. And a little bit over into the west is a group of constellations that we usually associate with the fall, the constellations of the Perseus-Andromeda myth. Of course, in the myth, Andromeda is the maiden who's being sacrificed to the sea monster, and then the hero Perseus comes along and rescues her, and her mother Cassiopeia, which is sort of a W-shaped constellation, is up there as well. There's another constellation that's not too close called Cetus, which is usually described as the whale, but mythologically is associated with the sea monster who's coming to get Andromeda. All those constellations are prominent in the eastern sky in early autumn and high overhead by later autumn. You can use those to find your way around the whole sky. If you can find the constellations in that group, then you start filling in the little gaps in between, and you've got a huge part of the sky covered. So they're a great way to approach the constellations. There's also interesting objects. Everybody's seen pictures of the Andromeda Galaxy. It's the closest big spiral galaxy to our own big spiral galaxy. The cool thing is that you can see it with the unaided eye. You don't need the Hubble Space Telescope or something. And you can find it in the constellation Andromeda as sort of a dim, glowing patch in the sky, and quite easy to spot in binoculars. You're seeing light that's taken 2 million years or more to cross the intergalactic space and reach us. It's been described as looking like a candle flame dimmed by wax paper or something along that, kind of a diffuse, dim glow. By later in the winter, it'll be far over into the west as evening progresses, and we'll lose it at some point. But there's plenty of time to catch the Andromeda Galaxy.
Jim
Lattis is an astronomer and the director of the UW Space Place in Madison.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode is produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more info, go to wisconsinlife.org.
Here to give us more insight into the autumn sky is Bob Bonnader, director of the Daniel M. Sorf Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Bob, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you, Veronica.
Well, we just heard about Andromeda there at the end. What does that look like up in the sky right now?
Well, to see it, you need to be in really dark skies far from the city lights, but it looks just like a little fuzzy patch in the sky. But to comprehend that that is 200 billion stars grouped together in this galaxy,
whoa,
2 million light years away, it blows the mind. So, and it's kind of cool through binoculars if people get a chance.
200 billion stars?
Yep.
Yeah, that's just kind of hard for the brain to
count them all.
How long?
If you counted each star one per second, it would take 6,000 years.
Wow. Well, what tips do you have for amateur stargazers? What are some of the best spots to be looking at right now?
Well, we've got the two brightest planets in the sky. So early evening around supper time, if you go out and look southwest, you're going to see Venus just amazingly bright, just brilliant. It's the number one reported UFO in the sky. And then if you're up a little later, you're going to see the planet Jupiter rising about 8 o'clock or so over in the eastern sky. And Jupiter's bright enough to outshine any star in the night sky. So we have our two brightest planets putting on a pretty good show.
Now, in terms of stuff that I guess is coming up, there's a comet that's going to be making its way across the sky, right?
Comet Ison, yes, it's going to get brighter and brighter, should be coming into naked eye visibility, but people are still going to have to get up early to spot it. It's going to be a little tough, and I don't know, it could really brighten, though. Comets are always strange. They're unpredictable. They're sort of like cats. They have tails, and we don't know what they're going to do. So we'll see. We shall see, hopefully.
How will this compare to something like Halley's Comet?
Well, if folks remember back with Halley's Comet back in, what was it, 85, 86, it wasn't placed very well in its orbit this time. So it wasn't all that spectacular. But if folks go back about 16 years ago for Comet Hale-Bopp, that was fantastic. You could see that right from downtown Milwaukee. Maybe this comet will have somewhat of a spectacular show like that. We'll see.
So will you be up at 4 in the morning looking for it?
Well, actually, you have to get up right before sunrise. So about 30, 45 minutes before sunrise is the best time to spot it.
And yeah. So did you tell what date or when we can expect to see it?
Well, if more towards Thanksgiving. If you get up maybe the week before Thanksgiving, you should see it near the Bright Star Spica in the eastern sky. Otherwise, after Thanksgiving, probably last day in November, early December, it should be good right before sunrise, too.
Okay, so Comet Ison heading our way.
Yes.
Another thing coming up is we're launching another mission to Mars. This one is called MAVEN. What do you know about this mission?
Well, this mission really wants to study the upper atmosphere of Mars and why it basically lost its water. Mars, we know, had a lot of water, and where there's water, there's a good chance for life, but Mars' atmosphere got really thin rather quickly, and this mission is going to explore the upper atmosphere and find out why it's losing it and how it lost it.
Is part of the context there, hey, this planet used to have water and could have supported life. Sounds a lot like Earth. Maybe we should find out what happened.
Exactly. And to think that we could be Martians, because maybe life started on Mars and got hit by a meteorite and blew off, and that started the seed of life here on Earth. That's kind of a far-fetched theory, but but it's been out there. So we don't know, but you know, that's a big, huge question. So that's part of the reason we keep going to Mars.
So we could be Martians. That's worth finding out.
We could be. Who knows for sure? That theory has been put out there. Hopefully we'll know someday.
What else coming up that we should be looking forward to? Or if we head out our back door tonight that we could see?
Well, a great constellation is Orion. Many people recognize Orion the Hunter, the traditional belt, those three stars right in a row. Now, he's coming up a little late now, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. You have to be up to really see him. But by the end of the month here, early December, you're going to see him up there about 7 o'clock. So he's a sign of winter, I hate to say it, in the night sky. But he's very bright, and look forward to him.
What is your favorite time of year to stargaze?
Oh, I love the winter. I love the winter. It's the brightest sky. It is cold. But if you just get out there for a while, especially away from the city lights if you can, it's going to be well worth your while.
All right. Well, once we lose some of these clouds, I think I'm inspired to do some stargazing. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, Veronica.
We've been talking to Bob Bonnader, director of the Daniel M. Sorf Planetarium at the Milwaukee Public Museum.